Okay, let's pray before we begin. Lord, as we study this passage together, may we learn more of who you are and who we are in Christ. Amen. As we journey, as we move into each new stage of our lives, we get presented with, we face situations which are new for us, for which we have to make decisions. You may be the parent of a toddler, most of them are out there at the moment, or live with teenagers, or be one yourself. Moving house, thinking about that job, your career, living with illness, hardship, or just getting older. And the options that we face, they're not about choosing between what's right and what's wrong, what's good or what's bad. It's the everyday stuff like these for which we need guidance. There's so much out there, self-help guides, there's professionals that we can consult, coffee with a friend, Google. I find it really useful, and I'm doing some research at the moment, and I love the way that you can just get your hands on instant information. Of course, we have to be careful because there's some questionable sources out there. Now, those everyday decisions that we make, all in all, they're legitimate, but not all of them are wise. We need guidance to know how to be, how to live in a confused world, in this context, in this moment of our lives. The topic on Proverbs, as you know, I've been given to talk about, is guidance. So I've called this session, The God Who Guides. Let's look at the first few. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Here, the upright, the righteous and diligent, these proverbs speak of, are us. That is, all who profess Jesus is Lord. But that this is not in our nature. We can only be like this if we are in Him, in Jesus, who calls us to be different, to love God, to have a Christ-like love for our neighbour, display the fruits of the Spirit, live a life that praises Him. These proverbs are about character, our character in Christ. And they say of such a person, look, their integrity will guide them. Their plans are just and will lead to profit. So our first point is, our character in Jesus, in Christ, will guide us. But with that in mind, listen to this short story. Someone will call Susan. She was a very giving person with her time and very prayerful. But at work, her supervisor took advantage of her good nature. Eventually, Susan has had enough. A well-meaning friend saw her distress and suggested that she speak to the supervisor. And if that doesn't work, take things further. Some weeks later, when asked if things had improved, Susan said, "Not yet. I'm still waiting for the Lord to show me what to do." Was Susan wise? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know the ins and outs of this situation. And of course, at times the wisest thing to do is to wait on the Lord. But the point here is, for some people, some Christians, that's their default every time, to pray into a situation, which is great, but then do nothing and just wait. Wait for a big sign to appear in the sky. It's great when that happens, when we get those God incidences, when we hear the Lord speak to us. You may have your own testimony, but that doesn't happen very often. Now, in the Old Testament times, the priests used to have something called the Urim and Thummim. They were sticks, coloured sticks or stones, and they'd throw them, and however they landed determined God's clear yes or no answer. And then the Urim and Thummim were replaced. God chose to speak through prophets to reveal his will. And we have Jesus. And our character in him, which we've already seen guides us, it can grow. Not by our waiting for every instruction, but as we actively seek to make those choices, decision after decision on a daily basis. And as a result, we will be better able to make wise ones. We don't always, though. I remember when I was learning to drive, I refused to get behind the wheel until I digested the manual, bombarded Lloyd with loads of questions. I drew these stupid diagrams and made loads of notes. A bit OTT. But of course, I didn't actually start to learn till I got behind that wheel. God wants us to be hands-on, call it on-the-job training, as we face that difficult decision, consider those options. The good news is, he has not left us. He has not left humanity alone to steer through as best we can, but guides us through scripture, revelation of his word, by his Spirit, our help. Then says, immerse yourself in it, in me, and then go make that decision. Sometimes, don't be surprised if you discern from him guidance to do something you did not expect. The integrity of the upright guides them. The plans of the righteous are just. The plans of the diligent lead to profit. We've seen so far how our character in Christ will guide us, and how by our everyday experiences of making decisions can cause our character in him to grow. It's a learning process, which requires both divine power and our cooperation. We are image bearers, being made holy. The next proverb, let's read it. It's just a warning to watch out. There is a way that appears right, but in the end leads to death. It's just saying watch out for false trails, which promise shortcuts to our goals, to success. in the Garden of Eden, Eve must have thought that the sweetness of eating that apple would have overrided somehow the stealing of it. So this proverb is just basically saying to us all, be careful. Let's look at number two. We're going to explore now how God guides us through other people. So let's read that proverb. The way of the fool seems right to him, but the wise man listens to advice. God chooses to guide us through others. The church is so important for this. Not the building, but the people. Just look around. It's impossible to be a Christian in isolation. This was never God's intention. Look, if you haven't made a commitment to go to church regularly yet, this is as good a time as any to just think about that. Once someone who no longer comes to the church, who's, you know, they've left St. Mildred's now, and they gave me some really, really valuable advice. I was so grateful for it. And I went up really excited to thank them. But he just looked at me and there was this silence. And then he admitted he could not recall our conversation, a conversation which impacted on me so greatly. Awkward. But it felt awkward, but it's a reminder that we can be a blessing to others without even realizing it. Who do you surround yourselves with? Go to for advice. And here's another question. Whose voice do I take, without realizing it, little notice of? When we ought. The way of the fool seems right to him, but the wise man listens to advice. The fool here is probably all of us. If you're anything like me, sometimes I can get something in my head and it just sets like concrete, and it's so hard for anything to penetrate it. Someone once wrote, I like this, the person who always knows best may be the only one unaware of their flaws. This proverb, I think, prompts us to be actively open, to test ourselves for prejudice and unconscious bias, whatever you want to call it. So we may be teachable and better able to receive from others just as God intended. The next proverb, make plans by seeking advice. Even if you wage war, obtain guidance. The sages wrote this proverb for kings, and who would have been under threat, you know, to their kingdoms, and they had to make decisions which would inevitably impact on their subjects. And I think this proverb is just basically saying, before taking action, especially when we're responsible for others, get advice first. The more we recognize our need for counsel, can you see how it's a sign of wisdom in us? The God who guides chooses to stir us through others at times, through the body, with Christ at the head, through his church. But test everything, because nobody has a hotline to the throne room. Let us now look at the third point. Number three. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. This is one of those proverbs we can so easily get a bit wrong. We think it's saying, give your plans to the Lord, ask him to bless them, and you will succeed. But that's not what this is saying. See the word commit. It means roll over onto. Commit, roll over onto the Lord, whatever you do. Those things on our hearts that we lift up to him. Pray that prayer, yes, but while doing that, we are called to put all our weight onto trusting him with that thing, with everything. Jesus is our example. He chose the cross, said, your will, not mine, knowing it would be painful. He put all his weight onto trusting his Father completely. And in the end, there was victory when he ascended back to his Father, to glory. The road is not always easy. One minute we can be full of joy, and then bam, life just chucks something at us. And we think, that's not fair. The future can sometimes seem uncertain. It can at times be difficult to say, Lord, I accept your will for me in this situation, and truly mean it. But he who holds the whole of creation in his hands, he formed each one of us in the womb, knows you, knows me by name, and says, you are mine. Isaiah 43. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Roll your concerns onto him. This proverb is saying, put all your weight onto trusting the Lord with your life, with your everything. Earlier we saw how our character in Christ will guide us, and that as we make decision after decision, it will grow. And then we saw how God guides us through others. For those we actively have to seek, we have to participate in them. But here, just now, we are reminded God does not remove our need to trust him. Let's look at the last few proverbs. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. These proverbs, I see them as comforting words. They show how we can rest in his sovereignty. The first part of these proverbs show we're free to make our own decisions, our own choices, and the consequences for them are ours to face. Tom spoke about that before when looking at the heart. And the second half of these proverbs tells us that what happens in history as a result of those choices is totally fixed under the sovereignty of our Lord. He is in control. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes a proper answer of the tongue. In their hearts, human plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Read on. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked. Joseph was a terrible brother. He made really bad choices, and his brothers were just as bad, and as a result of that, he found himself thrown in a pit, and then in Egypt, thrown into a dungeon. He cried out to the Lord, but there was silence. Years later, in the end, when reunited with his brothers, Joseph said those famous words, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Things went so wrong for Joseph. He could not cancel out. He just could not cancel out God's plan for his life in the end. And nor can we. If you are in Christ, you cannot completely mess up your life. No one can mess it up for you either. We may even go down paths that don't make much sense. We don't understand. But he is working everything out according to his will, his purposes. Ephesians number 1. He will weave even our failings into his plan for our lives in the end. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked. We're coming to the end now. We've looked at how God guides us through our character in Christ, through others, then looked at trust in him. As you, as I seek his guidance today, tomorrow, as we go out and start our week, whilst doing that, rest in this truth. The all-powerful, infinitely loving, perfectly wise God is sovereign, and he is already guiding us. His purposes for you and me and the whole of creation is solid, sure, and certain. So wherever we find ourselves, whatever we do, that prayer that we think is not being answered, whatever, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. As one translation says, just rest in his guidance. We are under his navigation, safe. Let us pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for Proverbs. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are with us, guiding us, even when we're not sure you are there, Lord. Pray that we can just rest in knowing you are sovereign. Amen.